God, we come to you and we thank you. You are so good and kind to us. Thank you for the week that you gave us. Thank you. Thank you that we can come together and sing and read your word. Now, as we do that, as we read the Bible, God, we pray that you would speak through your word, that it would be living and powerful, that you would draw us to you, that you would help us know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you've been tracking along, we're so close to the end of 1 John. I know there's some of us that would say, well, I think there's enough left for one sermon, isn't there? There is, but we could stretch it. So we will, not to do it justice, not because we want to stretch it. We're going to look at a text today that's going to give us, at the end of 1 John, it's going to help us with a problem that we have, kind of a constant, ongoing, just underlying problem that all of us have. I don't think that I'm going to have to convince most of us that this is a problem, that it's a problem that I have, that you have, that it's our reality. I think I'll just say it and we'll be like, oh yeah, that is kind of my reality. That is the way life is for me. We live with persistent sin. Different degrees, different, you know, levels of visibility, different levels of we would say seriousness. That's not a good way to describe it, but different levels of it being there in our lives. But one level or another, we all live with persistent sin, disobedience against God. It's part of our lives. It's habitual. It's sometimes it's our character for some of us. It's the way we react. It's our habits for some of us. Sometimes it's our emotions or the attitudes that we have towards life, the way that we talk to other people, the things we say, different ways impurity comes into our life, greed. It's different for all of us, but we have persistent sin. That's just part of who we are. We hide them, justify them. They're not always visible, especially not on a Sunday morning, but they're there. So what are yours? What is yours? What are yours? It could be plural. It probably is. We're not always conscious of them. So maybe you say it is this one. What is that for you? When we think about our persistent sin, we feel trapped. We feel condemned. It shouldn't be in my life. And it is. I feel like I'm defeated. When I'm conscious of that part of my life, I don't feel good. That tends to be our reality. There's persistent sin in my life. There shouldn't be. There is. There shouldn't be. There is. John gives us an alternative reality, if you will, a different way that life should be for those of us who call ourselves God's children. It's going to help us with that. Go to 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him. The evil one does not touch him. He's going to give, so this is the first of three affirmations that John gives. They all start with the word we know. It's we know, and then the next one is we know, and there's three different verses, three different affirmations. This is the first one. He says we know. It's like when, you know, you're talking, you say, everybody knows. We know. But he has to say it, which means we don't always know. We don't always remember. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we live as if these things that he's saying, these are true, and we know. Sometimes we live as if they're not true, as if it were the opposite. They are, though, great, huge, big realities, things that are true, things we should know, things that we should remember. They're affirmations for God's children that give us security. They are our realities if we are in Christ. Because of the gospel, because of God's word, we have them. We should be able to say, we can say as we read these, if for those of us who are Christians, we should be able to read these and say, that is true for me. That is my reality. That is the way life is. So John is going to remind us of these realities. What's the first one? The first affirmation, verse 18. Look at the first part of it again. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. So that's the first. We know this. God's child, God's son or daughter doesn't keep on sinning, doesn't continue in their sins. And so then we hear that. And if you have any kind of like a could have been a lawyer mind. If you have any, you know, little speck of that in you, you hear that and you immediately think of the exceptions. You say, I do sin though. Doesn't God keep us sinning? But I think of the times that I sin. I think of the times I shouldn't, because, you know, judging and all of that. But I think of the times other Christians I know sin. We say, born of God doesn't keep on sinning, but we do. How can it be possible that Christians don't sin? So of course, the tense of the verb, grammar on a Sunday morning, that should be for school tomorrow, and it's summer, so not even now. But the tense of the verb is important. He doesn't say that we never sin. He says we don't keep on sinning. There's a continual, ongoing amount of it. What does that mean? What does it mean that we, because my reality is I do sin, but he says we don't keep on sinning. So, okay, I'm going to steal something, which sounds like sinning. I don't think it is, because I'm stealing it from Mike and he's sitting here looking at me. And we were talking last week and he had the best example. It was, he was saying, I was like, ooh, that's just, I couldn't contain myself. I was like a giddy little child. It was the best example for this. We were talking about this idea because this is something that, if you remember, this has been going on through 1 John. This is something John has been saying repeatedly. God's child doesn't keep on sinning. Mike said, it's like if you say, I don't speed. I'm not a speeder. When I drive my car, I don't speed. I related to that because I say that. That is true for me. I am not a speeder. And I'm not just saying that because there's law enforcement in the room. I'm not a speeder. I don't speed. Now, do I, when I pass, on the way here, I passed a police, not car, the bigger ones, like SUV, a police vehicle with the lights on and everything. And it was coming out of, and of course, we're human. What do you do when you see that? You immediately look at what? You look at your little, you know, the thing that tells you how fast you're going, because I might be speeding. I don't speed though, but sometimes I do. But I don't. I'm not a speeder. That's not who I am. That's not what I practice. That's not the way I drive. But sometimes I do, more than I would like to admit. But that's not who I am. That's not what. That doesn't define my life. God's children don't practice. Isn't that a good example? Isn't that phenomenal? Most of the people downtown don't know Mike, so I'm not going to give you credit this evening for that. But good night. That is, yeah. I'm sorry that I took it, but it's yours. So you mean, you know, not permanently mine. God's children don't practice sin, not persistently, not rebelliously, not openly. Where it's not, this is who I am. This is what I do. I just do. This is I do. I drink too much on the weekends. What's it to you? This is the way I talk. That's not how God's children are. That's not how we are to be. We don't practice sin. When a temptation rears its head, we fight against it. We flee from it. Sometimes we don't, but we do. When the Holy Spirit helps us, shows us persistent sin in our hearts and in our lives, we confess it and we get it out of our lives. Sometimes we don't. And sometimes we have to be confronted, and then sometimes we get, you know, defensive and we get rebellious, but we do. We flee and we leave sin behind. God's children, John is saying, don't sin. Not because we put on a nice little show and we get dressed up for church and we act like good little Christians. Not because we hide our sins. It's not that we don't look like we sin. It's because we legitimately leave our sins behind. We completely walk away from them. We confess them. We pray. We ask God to help us. We get up when we fall down. We flee from sin. We change the places we go and the people we go there with. We don't accept sin in our lives. We do whatever it takes to get rid of it. Sometimes we don't, but we do. That is what God's children do. God's children don't keep on sinning. It's our reality. That's the reality. And also is the goal of our life, is what he's calling us to live this way. So why would we live this way? If we were to ask that question in the middle of the verse, which would be, you know, if John were saying this, it would be rude to interrupt in the middle. But if we did, why does everyone who's born of God not sin? Keep reading the verse. Everyone has been born he already answered. It was before the not keeping sinning part. We don't keep on sinning. We've been born of God. We're God's children. That's why we don't keep on sinning. When we surrender to Jesus, when we repent and are baptized, God makes us be born again. We're now God's children. He's our Father. How we live is intimately tied to our relationship with God. It's not because of we're now strict legalistic people and we follow rules, we force ourselves to obey. We obey because we don't live in rebellion against our Father, the one who saved us, the one who's forgiven us, the one who's given us grace. It would be inconceivable for us to live against Him. We obey because God is our authority. We've accepted when we say Jesus is Lord, when that is the phrase that comes out of our mouth, when we confess that as we are repenting and we go into the water and we're baptized, and then Jesus is Lord, we're accepting that He's the one who determines what is and what isn't and what should be and what shouldn't be, and He gets to tell us what to do. We obey because we want to imitate our Father and be like Him, be like our Savior. Children who are beloved, children imitate their father, their mother, their parents. God says, be holy because I am holy. We obey because we belong to Him. We've been born of God. We're set apart for Him. We're special. We're His special people. We've been born of God. We don't sin. We don't keep on sinning. Every day we obey our Father more and more. And then He tells us how to live like that. He doesn't just tell us how things should be. God's children don't sin. Okay, that's not as helpful as telling me now how what should the contrast with that be? We know there's a contrast coming because in the middle of the verse He says, but those who have been born of God don't continue sinning. But so this is a contrast. It's another reality. Instead of living in rebellion against God, in disobedience, following our flesh and our desires, this is the alternative to living in rebellion against God. When we never would believe that what He just said could be our reality, or when we feel overwhelmed, we think of temptations and our weakness. He tells us something that gives us security that we can live without practicing sin. So He says, but he who is born of God protects him. That's our older brother. That's Jesus. He was born of God, protects us. Jesus protects us. He guards us. He puts His arms around us and takes care of us. God, that's the big idea from this passage, is God's children are protected by Jesus and don't continue sinning. That is the alternative reality to our normal reality of, yeah, I have sins that I act like I don't have, and they're just kind of part of who I am. And everybody who knows me really well knows that's kind of part of me, and it is what it is. And this is an alternative reality. We are protected by Jesus, and we don't continue sinning in a world full of temptations and our flesh that's disposed to rebel against God and our sinful desires and all the people around us who would happily help us, you know, go down a different path. Jesus protects us by His Spirit, His presence and His power with us. He helps us see our sin. He helps us realize, I do have that sin. That's not right. He gives us conviction. He gives us the desire to walk away from our sin. You think that when, as a Christian, when you have that desire, when you see your sin, and then when you hate it, you honestly want to leave it, do you think that comes from you? Do you think that comes from you and I? It doesn't. Our hearts are prone to wander. That comes from the Spirit of God. He fills us with the power to actually be able to walk away from our sin. He cleanses us from condemnation when we fall into sin. Jesus protects us. It's what He did. It's what He said He was going to do, what He did with His first disciples. Go to the book of John. There's some readings there. We'll just read a minute, then we'll finish the first John verse. But go to John chapter 6. Big John chapter 6, verse 37. Here's Jesus talking. Look at how He talks about how He protects, guards His followers. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And then go to John 17. At the end of his time on earth, he looks up to God. He says, I did that. I kept them. I guarded them. John 17, verse 12. While I was with them, so now he's talking about his followers, I kept them in your name. So think about the word from 1 John 5, 18, protect them. Now he's saying, I kept them. Kept them which you have given me. I have guarded them. Protect, keep, guarded. I've guarded them. Not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Go backwards in John. Go to John chapter 10. That's what he says. This is a universal thing, right? So the John 17 is what he said. I did this with the followers that I had. But John 10, this is universal, like John 6. This is what I do with mine. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Not so much there, but he protects us. He guards us. He keeps us. Go back to 1 John 5, 18. He was born of God, protects him. That's it. Jesus protects us. And the evil one does not touch him. I was so tempted in the middle of this verse to say, first part of the verse is today's sermon, and this next part is another sermon. But it goes together, I know. They all go together. But that part is just incredible. We're protected by Jesus. We don't keep on sinning because we're protected by Jesus, and the evil one doesn't touch us. Jesus protects us, and Satan doesn't touch us. You say, wait, he does, though. Yeah, he bothers us, and bother is a very... like an understatement, right? He attacks us. He makes our lives miserable at times. But Jesus, God is saying, he can't touch you. He can't eternally hurt you because our eternity is secure in Christ. He can't control us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, right? We're not under his dominion. We're new people. He can't enslave us to sin. We've been set free. Romans 6, we are full of the powerful Spirit of God. He can't condemn us with our guilt. Romans 8, we have the blood of Jesus that covers us. God's children are protected by Jesus and don't keep sinning. So the verse is over, which means we're done. We have an application question. What should we do? That's what do we do with this verse and with this idea and with this new reality? If you're not a Christian, this is an invitation for you to enter into this reality. In this moment, you're outside of Jesus. You still haven't been born of God. The Bible, God says that you are in your sins. But everything that John described, this incredible reality, this could be yours. This God offers this to you. He invites you to surrender to Jesus and decide to follow him, to name him Savior and Lord by repenting, being baptized, and giving yourself to him, surrendering to him. And when you do, everything this verse says happens to you. You're born again. Again, you're born of God. You become a new person. By the power of the Spirit, you will be able to then leave behind your disobedience, and you will live like the new person that God has made you. And Jesus will guard you. He will protect you in every moment. And the evil one will not be able to touch you. And when you say, I want that, this in this community, in this family, tell someone. You can repent. Can be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, it sounds like an affirmation of something that just is. But then we look in the mirror and say, it's not always, right? That's not always in how my reality. This is also a call to us, an invitation to those of us who are Christians to make this, to live in this reality. So here's a question for us. If you were a Christian, in what area of your life is this not your reality? In what area of your character, your emotions, your thoughts, your actions, your words, What area of your life can you, and there's too many knots in this sentence, so how, what area of your life can you not say that you don't keep sinning? What area of your life do you say, well, I kind of do keep sinning there? Jesus, God tells us that his children are protected by Jesus and we don't continue sinning. So our application for those of us who are Christians is to make that our reality. And we do it in the moment when we're battling the sin. We have the thoughts and the feelings and we want to do, we want to say, and it's just about to. In that moment, we're to remember this. God's, those who have been born of God, don't keep on sinning. We're to affirm that to ourselves. And even though in that moment it doesn't feel like that's real, it feels like we're about to keep on sinning. In that moment, we are to tell ourselves this and affirm this reality to ourselves. And then we are to live in that reality. And I know that's not just not a snap your fingers and I live in that reality. It's a, we have to battle to make that our reality. We have to flee sin. We have to beg God on a continual basis, fill me with your spirit, with your power. In this moment, give me the strength to be different than what my flesh is pulling me towards being. We have to confess our sin to each other. We have to battle to live in that reality. But that is what God calls us to do. That is the reality that he has set there for us who are his children. And now together we get to worship. We get to worship the one who made this a reality for us. We're saying this is, God says this is reality. It's, we know that anyone who's born of God doesn't keep on sinning, but he who's born of God protects him. The evil one doesn't touch him. Jesus made that a reality for us on the cross. As he hung on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be born again, he died so we could be born again as God's children and become his new creatures in him. And as he rose victorious from the tomb, but because of that, we can now live in victory today, full of the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And that is our reality. And it's our reality because of Jesus and what he done on the cross. And so now we are to take bread and take juice. We're to remember the one who made that our reality in him. We're to remember and to worship and to thank him. So I'll pray. We'll take the bread together. And another brother will pray. We'll take the cup. We'll remember Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that we can be your children, born of you, completely new. Thank you, God, that we can live in this reality of we're your children. We don't keep on sinning. And thank you, God, that Jesus protects us in this moment. He guards our hearts and our thoughts and our minds, and the evil one can't touch us. We thank you, God, for what he did on the cross that makes all of this possible. In his name we pray together. Amen.